Thing that I want to mention to you is that and actually Reverend Pai, he had been educated in the theology in both in Virginia as well as North Carolina, and he served as a pastor in a Korean church for 14 years, and then he went to China as a missionary, serving the Muslim, the minority group. For a number of years. Now he's returning here. He sends that we have so much potential among you because God has given you multiple of talents and gifts. And he could share with us that what the opportunity is going to be. And also, Reverend Bai have a wife. His name is Yisu. And also, he have two boys, right? Yeah. So let's welcome. Now, Reverend Bai, okay?
Okay, God is good?
All the time.
All the time.
Oh.
Amen, amen. Okay. So, wonderful, wonderful. Thank you so much for this opportunity. In this time, I'd like to share pathway. Which means opportunity
to serve overseas. Oh.
Is that right?
No, it's not. That is what I. Yes, that is one. Yeah. So, status of. The Christianity in the whole wide world right now. Now, we have 11,948 people groups. People group means with people who share the same origin, same language, and same races, same culture, same history, like Chinese and Korean, and Cambodian, Vietnamese, or something like that, with 7.9 billion peoples. But, green dots are evangelized already. They have Christian, they have church, they have Bibles, they have lots of Christian movies in their languages. But orange part, they are unreached people. Unreached people group. Unreached people group means in their group, they got less than 2% of Christians. Some area got a church planting movement, or some group got their own language Bible. Some group got their own Jesus film, something like that. But red part is very serious. Dark red. Dark red. They don't have any access to the gospel. In their group, they don't have any Christians. I'm sorry. So, they don't have any Christian, any Bible, any church. So they couldn't even have a chance to hear the gospel. Okay? So, green part, already evangelized. See? 7,325 people group with 4.7 billion people who are lost. They don't know Jesus Christ. See? Lots of people.
in the world, there are two, on the earth, there are two different worlds. Blue world and red world. In blue world, there is church, there is Christian, there are Bible. So, they can, anytime, can go to church and worship God and praise God. But in the red world, there's no church, no Bible, no Christian, even no missionaries. So, these people never ever denied Jesus Christ before in their life. But they couldn't have a chance, even a chance to hear the gospel in their life. You know why? Because there's no Christian, no church. There's only way to hear the gospel. What is that? Somebody comes over there, share the gospel with those people. That is the only way. Only way. This church needs to send somebody to this place to share the gospel. There's only way. Yes. There are many barriers. Geographical barrier, somebody in Africa, somebody in Middle East, somebody in India or Brazil. Language barrier, need to learn language, Swahili or Arabic or Hindi to share the gospel with them. Religion, Islam, Buddhist, and culture. Even though there are lots of barriers, we have to overcome those barriers and go share the gospel with these people. So, this church needs somebody over there. So, this church needs to send your friend, your pastor, your young people need to go. So we have many opportunity. For the high school students, we have so many summer program. 1 week, two weeks, or 3 weeks, or 4 weeks. Because of the Ukraine refugee, we have many opportunity in Budapest, in Hungary, or Poland, to serve those refugee groups. Yeah. Or gap year. Like, hands-on and journeyman, something like that. Hands-on is, you need to serve, in overseas with, IMB team. Like Hong Kong or Penang, Malaysia or Indonesia or Europe and Africa with IMB Korean missionaries. You can serve for the local college student. IMB provide everything. If you purchase for the round trip airline ticket, IMB provide room and board and everything in the mission field. It's 6 months to a year. Well, we have a 1 week to 3 weeks program. If you go to imb.org and go, you can find so many various program. In APEC area, Asian Pacific Rim area, we have many summer programs. So I can explain. So I have 10 minutes. But already spent 5 minutes, so I can explain. I can explain everything. But you can take this one and scan this code, and you can find many opportunity. And we have a 2-year program, journeyman program. So after graduate college, you can serve in overseas 2 years. IMB provide everything. I provide everything. So, room and board and transportation and ministry fund, even the salary. If you finish 2 years in overseas, if you go to Southeastern Seminary in Wake Forest, North Carolina, IMB and the seminary provide 75% discount of the tuition. You can just pay 25% of tuition. So you can finish your degree. Yeah. Or we have a 2+2 program. So if you go to, one of, 6 major, seminaries in the state, like, Southeastern or Southern or Southwestern in Dallas, Texas, you can, study 2 years in the state, in seminary. So you need to pay for those 2 years. But, and then join the IMB and go to a mission field. IMB provides everything with all those tuition and then a salary and the room and board, everything. Yeah. And we have also Macedonia program. Macedonia, you can join the IMB as a missionary and go to mission field. That you need to serve 3 or 4 years. You need to 3 or 4 years. But IMB pay for all those tuition and provide everything.
I know a high schooler.
Yeah, so yeah, we have also ISC International Service Corps. So Internet Service Corps doesn't require any college degree or seminary credits. You can join, and if you are qualified everything, so IMB provide all the salaries, medical insurance, and even retirement. And after serving 3 years and come back and make a contract again, you can go to overseas again and serve. So we have many, many different categories, many different pathways. So I bought some materials right here, and there's my business card. Please contact me anytime. You know, now we have 3,600 missionaries in 116 countries. Among 3,600, we have only 284 Asian American missionaries. We have some Korean, Chinese, Vietnamese, but we need more missionaries in overseas. As I mentioned, Pastor Laos, except mainland China, do you know where are most Chinese people in this day? Except mainland China. Do you know where? No. Africa. In Africa, in this day, Chinese people are overflowing. In Morocco or Uganda, there are lots of Chinese, but there is no Chinese church. No Chinese people who are sharing the gospel with those Chinese people over there.
I found this on the web.
Oh, I'm sorry. So, yeah, please, listen to God and obey His calling. we have many opportunity to serve in overseas those people. So thank you.
The sharing from Ezra, and they, what he said, that they have a lot of brochure here, and you are welcome to take it home. And if God's calling you to serve in the mission field, there's a lot of opportunity from high school all the way to postgraduate school. So that's a lot of opportunity. So again, you know, this is the first time I come here to share with you. I'm really excited, because I really appreciate the English congregation here. And the young people this morning, the fact that you come to worship, we're studying God's word, because you know that that is so important. Because only from that you know God, and you know what God created you for, and that is for honor him, glorify him, and bring the good news to other people. Another thing is that when you worship, it's a time that you give thanks. You truly present yourself to God, and then God will accept, you know, your offering, because that pleases him. And today that I'm going to share with you is really together with what Ezra is sharing with you about mission. Why are we doing a lot better? Okay, but I think most of the time is like, a lot of time we're not really informed what is out there. Isn't it amazing to see that the opportunity that is, you know, over there? I guess none of you have ever had this question. Have everybody asked you to become a missionary? Have you? Probably not, right? But that's not true. If you study God's word in the book of Matthew, okay, and you know, chapter 28, you really find out that if you have received Jesus as a Lord and Savior, and Jesus is calling every one of his followers, okay, to go to the world to preach the gospel, to make disciples for him. That is the command that we are all being called. But a lot of time is that we don't sense that we are part of it. We think that it's only called for special people like Ezra. But that's not true. Like what he pointed out earlier, there's somebody called a sender, and there's also some people called goer. Goer is the one that who sends the calling very clear. They need to go. But the sender is the one that we are, even though we are not going out of the field, but we are the resources that God is using to provide that, you know, the need that they have over there. A lot of time we do good things in what we are or what we are. Whether you excel in your work, whether you excel in school, okay, whether you excel in all kind of performance and things like that. But how come we are not excel in mission? Like what I mentioned earlier, a lot of time because you are not informed. Today might be the first time and you hear about mission. Today you may be the first time you hear that you can go there. You know, I really appreciate your group here, you know, and you are the young people. Earlier, you were looking at the map. You know what? That is the map shown that Apostle Paul, his missionary journey. And he's the one that who bring the good news of Jesus Christ to all those areas before. Today, we heard that the message that we need to bring the gospel to the unreached people group. You know, whether they're the Muslim, whether they're Hindu, whether they're animists, and all these things. We can do that. It's just that we need to put our heart in this. But to get involved with the mission, what is the most important thing? That's a principle we had to learn. The principle is that we need to obey the Great Commission. The commission said no matter whether you're going or you're staying, and you are the steward of the master's resources. God's resources is entrusted to you to carry on his word. So today we're going to look at that. You know, I think that we can look at the book of 2 Corinthians and chapter 8, verse 1 to 9. Okay? We're going to read it together. Okay? Let's go and read it together.
And now, brothers and sisters, you want to know about the grace of God.
okay, as much as they were available, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently plead with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the lost people, and they exceeded our expectation. They gave themselves first of all to the Lord, and then by the will of God also to us. Next. So we urge Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. Interesting enough, we look at the scripture today, you're going to teach us a lot of things. You see, the thing is that important is that know the principle behind what is God's interest in us. See, the thing is that if you look at that verse 1, he say, Sherry, can you go back to the scripture? One more. Okay. Verse 1 talking about that, he wants you to know that about the grace God have given to the Macedonian church. Interesting, the Macedonian church is one of the church that Paul have started the church over there. But throughout that year, during that particular time, there's a big famine in the church in Jerusalem. At that time that the church need help. But the thing is that Paul is calling on all the people there to help the church there and in order to go through this particular difficult time. The church of Macedonia is a new church, just like our church here, the English congregation. It's only here, only since last September. Even though a new church. But the interesting thing that you can see that the church can do a whole lot. Again, it's the grace that God have extended to us to save us to be a follower of Jesus Christ. But it's also a grace for us to be able to help others. It's including sharing the gospel, sharing the need, and all these things. And Paul went there, he shared the gospel in the Macedonia church, and the people's life changed. Same thing here. You heard the gospel, your life has changed. Okay? The change is not only that you are part of God's kingdom. The change is that you have the responsibility to carry on the work that our Jesus Christ has entrusted to us. And in fact, the Macedonian church, they want to be part of the doing the same to others because they want to encourage the church in Jerusalem, continue to send out missionary, and continue to support Paul to bring the good news to other parts of the world at that particular time. And again, they want to take the opportunity to engage in God's word, and they don't want to miss. In fact, they have so much joy. But look at that here, you see, giving to mission is a privilege. You have to look at that as opportunity. Like Ezra shared with me before, even though that God will provide everything for you, but you have to be willing to go. And that's how you can experience that. It's your willingness to go and to participate. Again, when we look at the Macedonian believers, do you know that they are a good steward? They know the how of God's resources. At that particular time, you know, they are not really in a very good situation. They say in the midst of very severe trial at that particular time, they are under difficulty. They are poor. Okay, they were under a persecution, they're under the war. Okay, the church is not, at that time, is not really wealthy. But what happened is that they see the need to bring the good news to other people. They see the need of the church that will be benefit for the help they can provide. So they care for the people. Again, we need to have a heart of caring people.
We are Christian, but do we have the heart to think of those who have never heard of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ? Do you care about the salvation of them? Do you care about that they don't even know God? That's why they cannot worship God just like you have. See, we are blessed. You see, our young people here, we have before us, we have the Word of God. We have the Bible in front of us. See, we can study God's Word. But think of those people there. Some of the unreached people there, they have never even seen the Bible. Here in the church, you have people come to help you, you know, share with you, you know, the knowledge, the understanding from God's Word. But the people there, they cannot. Here, you have brother and sister, you have pastor, you have parents who are Christians. They can share with you what God have done in their life, how they make a difference. But over there, nobody can share with them. There's no people who disciple them. You see, this is the reason why it is so critical for us to understand the responsibility God has entrusted us. See? Again, the Macedonian people, they do this because they're motivated by love. But God so loved the world, He sent His sons to us, that He was willing to die on the cross for us. Are we willing to sacrifice just a part of the resources that God has given us to share with those people? I hope that we can think about that. On the other hand, you know, when we are looking at how to engage, okay, with the people in the mission field, of course, it is important for us to understand that, okay? I don't want to give you a picture saying that, well, just let you feel guilty because now you're so blessed. I don't think none of you here, none of us in America, for the last, you know, 20 years, have even think about that experience, like starvation, poverty. It seems that we are not understand anything of those. But if you look at the world out there, okay, there is a lot of need there. And sometimes that we might not be able to go there to help them, but we can find out whether from IMB or some of the relief organization, okay, to help those in need. Earlier, Ezra mentioned about a lot of refugees. A lot of refugees came, even in the United States. We have accepted, you know, tens of thousands of refugees. I know that, I heard that quite a few of them even located in this area, you know, in Virginia, North Carolina, and all those areas. You know, if somehow God put a burden in your heart to care for those people, you can do that. Okay, and make sure that you want to take part in it because you are doing it out of love for God. And of course, remember, right, what God's asking us to do is love God and then love your neighbor. How do you show your love to your neighbor? How do you show love? You see, you got to build a relationship with them. You got to have actions. Love is not just talking, okay? Yeah, of course, it's important to pray for those people, but take action, take step. And then, you see, the motivation to love other people, to love other country, is that show interest to find out what their need is, and then to do that. Sometimes, a lot of time, the giving, if you know that there's a need there, people will give. Like the church in Macedonia, they give more than exceeded their expectation. Because if God's moving in your heart, and you know that everything that you have is because of God have entrusted to you, you will have no reservation for whatsoever to willing to give. But if you look at this thing, the resources that you have, the money you have, is all yours. You know what? You are not a good steward. You are not really manage God's resources wisely. And I want you to think about that. For some of the young people, you will say that, well, I don't have any kind of resources. I don't have any money. I really think that you will think deeper. A lot of time during the holiday, during your birthday, you will see that you will get gifts, you know, from your family, for relatives and things like that, especially Chinese. They always like to give you money during that, those times. Those are the resources that you can keep. And keep your eyes open. Find out that where the need is and engage with them and share with your money. In fact, giving is also as a proactive kind of planning. Here, you will look at that and next slide, please. You see, he urged Titus. Titus is the one who helped them to get it ready. You don't wait till the last minute when there's a need there, then you're trying to raise money. In fact, you have a good idea is that you would say that, well, I would commit, you know, a certain amount for my giving, not only to the church, but also to the needs in the mission. In fact, this is one thing that the church in the Macedonia, they have done. What did they do? They actually give it to the church first, and then to give it to the mission. Likewise, I want to encourage every one of us. You're giving, okay, not just a partially, just I will give everything outside of the church. Okay, I will do good. But you also have responsibility in the church, because this is the church. This is the base that you use it to propagate the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that is important for us to know that. And so remember, stewardship is that you are giving a lot of authority to act for the master. Our master is God. He is the provider. And I want you to know that God right now is preparing every one of you. See, you might not think that I'm making money or what, but now God's responsibility for you is do well in what you're doing. You go to school, you do well. Your work, you do well. But the thing is that because of that, God is going to bless you and provide it for you at the right time. You don't have to rush into doing anything, because God's timing is always right, and He will always get you ready for the time to come. God has given you three things that we will have to look into it. See, God has given you time, God has given you energy, and God has given you money. Time. I want you to know that just because every Sunday you come to lead the worship, to study, I think that's wonderful. But you can also think of that using what you have to benefit other people. The time that you have, you can even think about earlier talking about short-term mission. Use your talent to go out there. You know, if you know how to do a lot of like computer thing, and you can actually go to the field to help the people and who are learning the skill, or even help the missionary, help them to taking care of some of the consideration and challenge they have in all the networking, security, and things like that. If you are good to leading games among young people, see, you go there because a lot of missionary kids there, they would love to see you. They would love to see how you can bring in the joy that you have for them, as well as help them. You know, besides that, you can having games, playing games with them, doing summer camp or doing a VBS and that kind of thing. You can also help them to tutoring them. In fact, you can do that even online, because a lot of missionary kids do need the help for those academic area. That's the area that we can help. Those are the time. Energy. See, God give you a lot of energy. I just found it very interesting. People think that I'm so busy. So busy in doing a lot of things. That's when you spend all your energy into something that you think is important. But have you ever think that you can spend some energy to look into how you can connect it with God's word? What God is doing? Can you think that you can contribute some of your energy into fulfilling what God wants you to do? Sometimes that a lot of times even have this challenge, you know, she said, well, I don't even have time to study God's word. Okay? But the thing is that I don't think any one of us can say to me that, say, I don't have time to check my email. I don't have time to get online. I don't have time to play my video game. See, they always have times. They always have the energy. I know that, and I know some young people. They can play video game without sleeping. But do you know that they will never have time to read God's word without sleeping? Okay? You see, they spend the energy in the places it's not necessary, not important. I hope that because today God have get your attention to knowing that, you know, you are responsible to what have God entrusted to you. And what you need to do is that in your life, in your time, in your energy, that you can serve God and be a good steward. I really appreciate what Pastor Chu have done here, sharing with you in the Old Testament, talk about Malachi, you know, talk about that, how you can well use your money. See, money is only a tool that God has provided for us. But the thing is that money is not the tool for you to worship. You see, if you use the money wisely, you can do a lot of good. But you use money and seeking for money as your aim and goal, you will be disappointed. See, that's one of the things that young people, I want you to pay attention to that. Don't only enjoy the things that make you happy. Don't only do the things that make your name famous. Don't only do the things that will only honor yourself without honoring God. Keep in mind that is people out there who need our help. They need you to go out there to share the good news. They need you to support someone who's called to go in the field to serve them. You are responsible. You have the challenge in front of you. I hope that today, just a short message I share with you will change you. Will change you in a tangible way. I don't want you to come here to hear the things that go home and forget about it. I want you to hear that, you say, take seriously, look at the brochure in front of you. Pick one up, go home and study it, read it. Find out where God's heart is. Because you know why? Jesus' second coming is imminent. It can happen anytime. The only reason that we have not seen the second coming is that because God is patient with us. Because God wants to know that at the end, all people in the world, all tribes, all language groups will have a chance to hear the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then the second coming will come. And this is an opportunity for us to take part into the Great Commission, to go out, to make disciples of all nations so that they will come to enjoy the eternity with our Lord Jesus Christ. I hope that you take note of this. Take the brochure at home and think about that. If you have any question, I'm open, and Ezra is open, and so Pastor Chu is open. Anything that we can help you to grow in your maturity in Christ, we will be happy to do that. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for today. Thank you for this time that we can hear the needs in the world. Thank you for us to know that your heart is to save all of us. We thank you for your blessing upon us. We thank you for entrusting us with all the resources you have provided for us. Lord, help us direct us and focus to you alone. Help us, no matter where we are, we know that our primary reason there is to make a difference in someone else's life. Lord, we pray that today you will touch the heart of us here. Allow us to be exposed to the need in the world. Allow us to start thinking and praying for those nations who currently are still close to the gospel, that you will open the door, allow the gospel to go in there so that people will have a chance to hear the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be with us for the rest of the week. Strengthen our heart, strengthen our mind, keep our focus for you alone. And guide us and protect us till we meet again. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.